All right, welcome to this special report podcast about the replatforming of America. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. My voice is still a little hoarse. I'm recording this not long after the big Tulsa Health Freedom event. Well, more than Health Freedom, but, well, you've heard about it. So you know what's going on. I'm still recovering from that event. There's fascinating stuff. But one of the things that really became apparent during this event is that we are now watching the replatforming of America with the launch of a multitude of alternative platforms, social media, video platforms, Twitter-like platforms, Facebook-like platforms, and so on, and probably some new search engines coming as well. And these platforms are run and owned by principled, Christian-oriented individuals, pro-speech people, pro-life people in many cases, and just people who have ethics, right? And these, even though these people are pro-life and pro-Christian and so on, I've never heard any one of them, and I've now interviewed several of them, I haven't heard any of them say they're going to ban leftists. You know, they're not going to ban pro-abortion people. They're not going to ban pro-vaccine people. They're going to defend their right to speak. So unlike the left-wing platforms that ban any speech that they don't like and they just call it hate speech, the alternative upcoming platforms for the replatforming of America are actually going to invite debates and discussions across the spectrum. And that shows that these platforms are owned by people who are principled. They believe in freedom of speech, not just freedom of speech of their views, but the freedom to speak about all views. And that includes, most importantly for our audience, the freedom to speak the truth about vaccines. Whatever that truth is for you, you know, maybe you're opposed to all vaccines. Maybe you're pro-vaccine for most vaccines, but you have questions about the mRNA platform. Or maybe you're pro-vaccine in some cases, but not vaccines that use aborted human fetal tissue, right? Whatever your view is on vaccines, those views are welcomed on these new independent media platforms. So in this podcast, I'm going to talk about some of these platforms and some of the people I recently talked to, the founders and owners of these platforms, and also a little bit about Brighteon, which in our long-term vision, Brighteon becomes more than just a video platform as well. I've always seen Brighteon as something that can handle other types of content, including audio files and photos and eventually short text snippets, such as Twitter-style snippets. But at the event in Tulsa, I interviewed, let's start with Mike Lindell, because he's launching frankspeech.com. And frankspeech.com, he describes it as, I think, a combination of YouTube and Twitter, I believe. And Mike Lindell, I specifically asked him this question. Will we be able to tell the truth about vaccines on your platform? He said, absolutely. You can talk about vaccines. You can talk about America. You can talk about the founding fathers. You can talk about pro-life, whatever you want to talk about with very few restrictions. Obviously, no porn, for example, things like that. But frankspeech.com is the website for that. I was invited to be one of the so-called influencers, which is a group of people that Mike Lindell invited to join up early and to, I think, be featured as some of the prominent channels during the initial rollout of that platform. But, you know, frankly, we're all influencers. You and me, if you have a channel, you're an influencer and so on. So really, that's just kind of a kickstarting thing, I think, to launch it, get a lot of good people on board, and start getting that critical mass of where it's going. But I look forward to having tens of millions of users on that platform, maybe eventually, you know, 100 million Americans on that platform. Now, it's going to take a while. And I do want to set the expectation that I think is realistic on it. frankspeech.com, you know, it's a brand new platform. They're going to stumble a little bit on some things just because of the scalability, you know, but we're going to have patience with that process, and we're going to support frankspeech.com, and it's going to be very successful. Just, you know, it's not a trivial thing to build a functioning social media platform when you're being constantly attacked by DDoS and your servers are always under extreme load because there are so many people joining your platform and so on. You know, Mike Lindell, he's great at spreading the word and creating some positive buzz, and he's going to get a lot of participation, which is fantastic. But that's also given them a big challenge as well. And I know this firsthand because of our platforms like Brighteon.social, even just with a fraction of a million users, we were blowing out some of our early servers and we had to, you know, to really upgrade quickly and have increased capacity and so on. So anyway, frankspeech.com, I believe you'll be able to sign up there soon or at least enter your phone number to get an invitation from frankspeech.com. And, you know, by the way, it turns out that one of the people behind that platform is a friend of mine, someone who I've known for several years. And I don't know if he wants his name put out there, so I'm not going to mention his name, but he is a patriot. He's absolutely a patriot. And I want to share an important note, by the way, about the people who are involved in these projects and why I feel the most comfortable around people who are people of faith. That is, they believe in God, they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason I think this is so critical for owners of platforms is because at the end of the day, you have to have ethics that are rooted in a belief system, that are rooted in principles, you know, pillars of morality and ethics. And when you deal with people who don't believe in God, which is, of course, the entire left and big tech and, you know, Zuckerberg and so on and Dorsey, not only do they not believe in God, I think they are demonically influenced or infested, but that's a different story. You don't know where their ethics are. So you don't know what do they stand for? What are their beliefs? What are they trying to accomplish in this world? For most of them, they're just trying to gain money and power. And that's it. And that's not a godlike trait, is it? If you just want to gain money and power, yeah, you might launch platforms, you might be very powerful in your own mind anyway. But when it comes to helping our world and doing something that matters and helping to sustain Western civilization, you gotta have ethics. And America was founded on Christian values. And Western civilization is dependent on Christian values. And if you don't have those values, which is the sanctity of life, right? Real truth, real meritocracy, real equality of opportunity, and so on. If you don't have those values, then in my opinion, you shouldn't control anything of power. And this is why I'm sometimes, I hear about libertarians who are running platforms. And libertarians that, you know, there's a lot of different types of libertarians. I'm not attacking people in that area. It's just that some libertarians are in with, you know, Lucifer and atheists. And then other libertarians have a Christian value set. But just the idea of everything should be free, you know, there should be no limits, no boundaries, no rules, which is sort of the extreme spectrum of the application of libertarianism. Well, that's the way Satanists market themselves. They say, hey, don't you want to be free from religion? Don't you want to be free from the bounds of morality and ethics? And why should God tell you what you can and can't do and so on? So that's the marketing to that sector of the libertarians. And frankly, that's all in with Lucifer, in my view. So I seek out people who have Christian values, because I know then at the end of the day, I asked Jeff Brain, the founder of Clout Hub, I asked him this question. I said, hey, how do we know that you're not going to just sell out that platform one day if Zuckerberg comes along with a $1 billion check and says to you, hey, sell your platform. Here's $1 billion. Go away, retire, buy an island. I don't care, but give us your platform. How do we know that's not going to happen? And he answered it well. And he answered that his life is a mission-driven life. And he's in his early 60s, he said. And he's not out to just gain money and power. He's a person of principles. He's a person of faith. And he wants a world that still functions, you know, for his grandchildren. And those are the kind of principles that matter. And getting back to Mike Lindell, this is why I'm so thrilled to be able to speak with Mike and be able to ask him about vaccines. As far as I'm concerned, you know, the vaccine issue is kind of the litmus test. If someone has a platform out there and they say it's free speech, but then they say, oh, you can't criticize vaccines because whatever, then obviously that's not free speech. So wherever you go, wherever you take your platform, you know, or your attention on a platform, make sure that you can speak the truth about vaccines or COVID, you know, the COVID pandemic or vaccine passports or masks or any of these very important issues for our time. So anyway, get ready for frankspeech.com. And then getting back to Jeff Brain over at Clout Hub, after speaking with him, I decided that I'm going to start using Clout Hub. I mean, my entire organization, we're going to launch channels there and participate in that platform and help that succeed and, you know, and reach out to our fans who are on that platform, which by all accounts is an excellent platform. And I was really impressed with Jeff, the founder, in his thoughtfulness and his attention to detail. He has thought very carefully about censorship versus freedom and what are limits of speech. For example, he says he has, they have defined and publicized a list of terms that you cannot say on his platform, like racial slurs, for example, the N-word, and a bunch of others. I forgot how many he said, but it sounded like it was, you know, maybe a couple of hundred terms. And of course, humorously, I asked him to name them on the podcast, but he wouldn't do that. It's like, it'd be like a long George Carlin comedy clip. But of course, I was just joking. But you know, his argument, I think, is very sound. He says, look, these social media platforms, this is like being in the town square. And while everyone should be allowed into the town square to speak passionately about the issues that they enjoy, you wouldn't want someone in the town square screaming the N-word, right? Or other racial slurs. That's not productive. It's not accomplishing anything except spreading hate. And to ban someone from using the N-word, I tend to agree with that in this context, simply because if there's any productive argument to be made about race or whatever, you should never have to resort to using racial slurs. Why would you use the N-word? If you had a coherent argument, you wouldn't need to use it. And the internet is not, in my view, it's not an appropriate place to just call people, you know, horrible names. I would like the internet to be a place where there are more thoughtful comments. And, you know, you could still, if you think someone is horrible, you can still on Clout Hub or other platforms, I suppose, you could explain that I think this person is contributing to global genocide and that they should be arrested and tried for mass murder or whatever. You can say all that without having to use a racial slur. And so you can still express yourself. You need to be thoughtful about it and not just reactive. So as soon as I get back into a meeting with my social media team, I'm going to be instructing them to start using Clout Hub. And I'm so glad that the founder of Clout Hub is a person of principles. That really makes me happy. I mean, I'm at the point, you know, I love Brighttown to succeed and I love Brighttown.social and the things that we've built, but I want all the other platforms to do very, very well. I want people to have options, right? I want all these platforms to succeed. I want a rich, diverse ecosystem. It's kind of like when I walk in nature a lot, as you know, and some people want to see a field, like a farm field, that has no trees. It's just all green grass or barley or whatever they're growing, you know, hay or wheat, and they think that's beautiful. And I like a field that is diverse. I like to see shrubs. I like to see trees. I like to see berry plants. I like to see, you know, just a shelter for rabbits and such. I like to see, I mean, to me, a cleaned, clear field is not natural looking. And I equate that to the kind of obedient conformity, free speech, you know, crackdowns of left-wing platforms like Facebook. I don't want to see a clear-cut field and monoculture. I want to see diverse agriculture, which is why, by the way, I get to harvest dewberries every year on my ranch, because I do not spray herbicides on it and I don't mow down the berry plants. And so every year I'm walking around, it's like food everywhere. This is awesome. And shelter everywhere for animals. And suddenly there are rabbits and there are owls and there are more armadillos and more raccoons and more birds, so many more birds there. And it just contributes to that rich ecosystem. And I think the same thing should be true in terms of social media platforms. I like to see platforms dedicated to specific topics. And that brings me to Andy Wakefield's project, which is Health Freedom Hub. Or is it Health Freedom Network? I'm going to have to get the name down on that. Anyway, he's going to be launching it in about 45 days or so, roughly. And it's a vertical social media platform, meaning that it's focused on health freedom. And I think it's called Health Freedom Hub. Anyway, we'll be doing articles about it. You'll be able to find it. No problem. It's Andy Wakefield. And I love to see this. And I was talking to the founders of that project. And they were asking me, you know, you want to come on? You want to join us? And I'm, are you kidding me? I'm like, I want to be there on day one. I absolutely want to be on your platform. In fact, I will put exclusive content on your platform. You know, just like a special welcome message and why I think this platform is important. And yeah, it's not even my platform. So what? It's a very important place to have a focused conversation about immunization and vaccines and autism and everything surrounding that. Because if I were to pick one issue that I think even that I'm the most passionate about in terms of, you know, health freedom and politics, it's vaccines. And so they picked a great topic, and their platform is going to be built on the Pure Social engine. And I also met the founder of Pure Social, which I'll talk about here in a second. And I think that's going to be very well done. Just like Clout Hub, I see Jeff as the founder of Clout Hub as being someone who is very detailed, and I bet he has a good quality control team. And I think that he is rigorous in his methodology, just as he is in his thinking. And, you know, I think I can tell a lot about people by interviewing them and having these conversations. And I'm really impressed with Jeff Brain. But I'm also impressed with the founder of Pure Social. His name is Doug. And it's the Pure Social engine that is, you know, powering the Health Freedom Hub by Andrew Wakefield. So I'm very excited to be able to participate in that platform. And the Pure Social engine is available to be customized and templated out, you might say, to power other vertical social media types of applications. So I can see Second Amendment groups going to Pure Social and saying, hey, yeah, we would love to have a Second Amendment-focused social media platform. And I'm sure Doug and his team could put that together with some effort. You know, of course, it takes time and money, but I think they would love to put that together. And I think Second Amendment is a great topic for someone to launch. You know, if I wasn't so busy, maybe I would launch it, but I'm kind of working on Brighteon and other things. It's just that think about every issue that matters to you. You know, what about faith and spirituality? What about God and Christianity, churches? You know, someone should launch a social media vertical just for churches and Christianity. And then at some point, of course, there's going to be, I think, an effort. You know, somebody needs to build a utility so that you can easily cross-post your messages on these different platforms. But also then these platforms need to be able to talk to each other and perhaps embed and integrate messages from other platforms that might be related. So I think there's a very rich ecosystem that's under development right now. And it's, you know, it's still in its early stages. I would say it's adolescent stages, but it's going to mature very rapidly over the next year or two. And I think that very soon, Facebook is obsolete. Yeah, it's okay. You can applaud on that one. Yeah, we can all clap together. Facebook is obsolete. Yeah. It is. You know, Facebook's going to be the domain of the brain dead, like people who don't want to communicate because you're only allowed to say this very narrow, limited number of things. They're like, Biden is great. Okay, you can talk on Facebook, you know, or vaccines are awesome. And that's it. But beyond that, you're not going to be able to say anything there. So what's the point? What's the point of non-communicative communication, which is what Facebook has basically become, or Twitter for that matter, or YouTube? It's pointless. So I look forward to a rich, diverse ecosystem of speech, and that's coming. That is on its way. And by the way, my efforts are part of it. I'm part of it, you know, with Brighteon. We've been working on that for years now. And it is quite mature at this point. You know, we got past the launch pains quite a long time ago, and we rebuilt the engine and we rebuilt the live streaming code. I mean, we kind of wrote that from scratch now. We thought we were going to use the PeerTube engine, and ended up we couldn't use it because it didn't scale very well. So we built our own engine, and it's working. You know, we live streamed, 329,000 viewers of the Tulsa event, the Health Freedom event. We live streamed to 329,000 people over 2 days with our engine. And that was the first time that engine had ever really been hammered, the first time. And it did great. So I'm proud of my engineers and the job they did. They did an amazing job. And we've got, you know, experience under our belt of how to make these things work. And that's why I'm so thrilled to talk to other people who are launching other platforms. So let's get to Doug over at Pure Social. Now, his platform, I think it's puresocial.com. And I think he also said he's got puresocial.tv for a video component. And I'm not sure what all he's got in mind, but Doug is kind of a quiet intellectual guy who's always thinking of new features to put into the system. So I bet you he's got some nice surprises ahead for us. And I'm definitely going to be using the Pure Social platform. And if anybody asks me if they want to build their own social media platform, I would say, hey, talk to Doug first, because he's already built one. Why don't you check out his, see if you could customize it like Andy Wakefield did. You know, it could save you a year of development, which is a very big deal. Now, just to kind of shift gears here a little bit, if you think about all these rich, diverse ecosystems of free speech, this also brings in tremendous opportunities for advertisers who are independent media advertisers. So a lot of independent advertisers and even people who are offering natural health products, let's say, have been banned by Facebook, not even able to advertise on Facebook. I know that The Truth About Cancer, for example, was banned from advertising on Facebook. Not that you would even want to these days, but they were, you know, aggressively banned. Now, I would never advertise on Facebook because I don't want to give money to Zuckerbuck, which is what Mike Lindell calls him. And I would never advertise on Google, and I would never advertise on any of those platforms. But I would love to advertise on these independent media, you know, these diverse free speech platforms that are the up-and-coming platforms like frankspeech.com. Now, many of these platforms don't yet have an advertising system built into them. And there's a very good reason for that, because it's complex to build a self-serve advertising system, you know, where people can, advertisers can create an account and fund the account and then create ads. And those ads go through moderation typically. And then the ads appear often based on certain concepts or topics or keywords or, you know, whatever the case may be. And then there has to be a very well-developed reporting system so that the advertiser gets detailed reporting so they can understand what's working and how their money's being spent and what kind of results they're getting and so on. Well, building that system just by itself is a multi-million dollar project. So it's one thing to build a social media platform. It's an entirely different thing to build an ad ecosystem that integrates with your platform. Now, I know you might say, well, there are already ad systems that exist out there. There are other ad networks that you can plug in, you know, and so on and so forth. Okay, great, fine. Except I don't trust any of those other ad systems that I know so far, because they will ban, you know, too many of them are owned by the very same people who are banning speech. So they're going to ban ads. And, you know, unless there's a Christian-based ad network, and maybe there is, and I just don't know about it yet. But if there's not a Christian-based ad network, I wouldn't even think of working with them because they don't have the principles that I think are critical for this whole conversation. So yeah, if you know of a Christian-based, free speech-based ad network that works well, let me know about it. Because I'd like to maybe integrate it or share that with others, right? But a lot of these ad networks are bad. And I've seen these third-party ad networks that are just like kind of greasy, just for-profit projects, and they allow advertisers to put malicious code into the ad scripting. And so what can happen is if you're a platform owner and you don't police that very well and you just connect with some third-party ad network, well, guess what happens? You know, 5 days later, there's a bunch of malicious code being served in the ads on your website. And then guess what happens? Oh, you get put on all kinds of like dangerous malicious code blacklists by Google and so on, you know, and browsers block you and so on. So you just committed basically suicide for your whole platform. So I don't trust the ad networks. And that means you got to build your own. And building your own is a tremendously complex thing to do. But I know that a lot of people are working on this. And in fact, I've spoken with some. I know that Clout Hub is in the pre-ad revenue stage, but they do plan to have some sort of ad revenue, you know, sponsorship capabilities at some point. But with that said, I know that Jeff will think very, in a very thorough manner about how to do that effectively. And he does not want to interrupt your wall, you know, your homepage wall of messages that are coming to you. He doesn't want to just throw a bunch of ads in between your messages. And I respect that. I wouldn't do that either. And as a platform owner myself, I do not want to see, you know, pop up and pop under third-party ads. Now, it's okay to have a pop-up to subscribe to the platform, but I don't like to see pop-ups and pop-unders if they're spammy or if they're heavily promotional. Although, you know, from time to time, we do pop-ups that just say, hey, subscribe to Brighteon if you want to get on our video list to get some videos, but that's just bringing you more of the content that you're there to get. It's not about, you know, pushing a product to you. So the upshot of all this is that before long, there are going to be many, many new options for not only you as an end user to be able to re-platform yourself across all of this multitude of platforms like Frank Speech and Brighteon.social and Pure Social and, you know, whatever else is going on out there, like Clout Hub, lots of choices. Oh, and by the way, you notice I haven't mentioned Parler. I'll get to that in a second. But also at the same time, then advertisers are going to have all kinds of new online real estate to choose from when it comes to where they spend their advertising dollars. And I happen to know, I know the CEOs and founders of many companies that are, I mean, some of them have asked me straight out, like, hey, I'm tired of spending ad money with Google and Facebook. How can I spend ad money with you or networks like you and reach your customer base and give money to your cause, in essence? There are business owners who are principled, who are, you know, pro-Christian, pro-America, pro-freedom business owners who are actively looking for ways to reduce their spending with evil platforms, which is Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and Google. They're evil. And so if you think about it, as the new ecosystems and platforms emerge, there's going to be a very rapid migration of ad dollars to those new platforms. And if there's anybody listening to this from Google, you should be getting nervous. You should put on a pair of adult diapers because you're gonna be crapping yourself at the speed at which this moves. Trust me. Yeah, you should practice the old sphincter muscle there quickly before all this kicks in, because it's gonna blow you away, and the stock valuations of these tech giants are going to crater when the investment community becomes aware of what's happening. Yeah, because this is a massive undercurrent. So many people want to stop supporting Google and Facebook and so on that when these options become mature, the migration is going to be very rapid. It's going to be faster than illegals coming across the U.S. southern border, by the way. It's going to be just a mad bum rush or a wave away from big tech and into the new tech. And the new tech is the replatforming of America. It's principled technology, like some of these companies that I've mentioned here. Now, getting back to Parler. So Parler has a rather unique position in all of this. And I will tell you, behind the scenes, as I've had discussions with various other people, including many people I haven't named here, we are very skeptical of Parler. We're skeptical because Parler looks like a rhino network to many of us. Now, you're free to have your own opinion about Parler, but you saw, you know, two things that happened. One of the founders of Parler was kicked out, and then Parler made a tremendous mistake by building everything on the Amazon AWS platform and not having a backup plan ready. And of course, Amazon took them down. Now, Parler's team did a very good job of rebuilding rather quickly, within, what, a few weeks. They got back online with a new host and some new code. And that's impressive. That's not easy to do. But my question is, you know, Parler seems to be very heavy into Rhinoville. You know, Parler is promoting Sean Hannity and kind of the more mainstream, you know, conservative corporate people. And remember that conservatives, when they're in with corporations, they end up promoting vaccines and promoting big pharma. So I think this is going to be one of the key tests of Parler is, can you talk about vaccines without getting censored? Are you able to criticize, let's say, even big oil, or criticize the Pentagon for that matter? Because rhinos really are, you know, are into protecting the interests of powerful corporations, some of those that I just mentioned, you know, pesticide companies, right? Mainstream conservatives are pro Monsanto, and they're pro Bayer, and they're pro IG Farben, frankly. And that's not okay with me. I'm not okay with that. And this is why I've been watching Parler very carefully. I've been testing Parler myself to see what happens when I post content that's critical of vaccines or content that's critical of corporations. Now, so far, to my knowledge, I've not been censored by Parler. So to their credit, they don't appear to be applying any kind of oppressive censorship at this point. But we got to watch Parler and kind of see where it goes. So that's my take on the new diverse ecosystem of the replatforming of America. Thank you for listening. I hope you found this valuable. And watch naturalnews.com and this podcast for more information about what's launching, when it's available, and what we're going to be participating in as well. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for listening.